Hello, mates, and welcome to Soundproof's second week of coverage of the Galar region here. We're happy to have you back with us. And as always, my name is Brendan Lewis. I go by MrBDog46 on the internet, and I am joined, as always, by my friend Jake Muller, who goes by Major Bowman on the internet. And again, we're very excited to bring you our second week of coverage here of the Galar region. I don't know about you, Jake, but I think just like everybody else, we're kind of past the honeymoon phase with the game, and now we're like grinding out breeding and raids and battle points and all this stuff to actually start to get competitive stuff in game.
Right.
So the flavor, the context that we perceive this game has changed at this point.
I mean, I'm still letting everyone do stuff for me. Like, I've done some breeding, but I'm taking advantage of all my very, very generous friends who I love very much, who have bred a lot of things and are willing to pass them to other people. And I have been abusing rental teams on Battle Stadium. I got to rank 9 last night. I know, big deal. I'll sign autographs later, but exclusively using rental teams from either people that I've seen on Twitter or like Trainer Towers compendium, which is really cool. There's a lot of good rental teams on there.
I don't think it counts unless you post an image of your Master Ball rank on Twitter.
Okay, well, so I'm not quite there yet, okay?
I don't think
I'm very
counts.
Booked and busy.
All right, so that is going to be the kind of what we're doing with the second portion of our episode this week. Last week, we went through kind of what a lot of the new Pokemon were, and particularly the relevant ones, and how we felt they were going to be used and play into the format. And this week, we're going back to fill in a lot of the gaps, some very big and important gaps that are taken by Pokemon that have existed for, you know, up to 2 decades, but are going to be players in the metagame, which continues to clarify as we're a couple weeks into our showdown play here. So we've got some good stuff to talk about in that regard, and of course, as per usual, we will go through the ladder. Unfortunately, I do have to report the demise of the Ultra Series ladder. I spent a good amount of time trying to pull teams, and I couldn't really find more than like 2 or 3 teams in the top like 20 that were more recent than, you know, like 3 or 4 weeks ago.
Like the release of Sword and Shield.
Given that that ladder is entirely stagnant, I didn't feel that it was a particularly relevant bit of information. So if anybody actually feels strongly about wanting teams from the Ultra Ladder, please feel free to DM me and I will send them to you personally. But they will not be making it onto our show this week. So we've compensated by adding a couple of the Battle Stadium double teams, which I'm sure everybody is far more interested in talking about. And then we do have one quote-unquote major to talk about from the Ultra Series, and then 2 tournaments that were online and larger than Daytona.
I was going to say, they were both larger than Daytona. Yikes.
Good episode today. But as always, we will start out with our Dash 1-2 Pokemon.
Yay.
As we continue to make our way through the decks here. And fortuitously, the first Pokemon here, number 12, is Butterfree, which finds itself quite in the spotlight just as of today.
Yeah, I'm sure we'll talk about it more later, but Butterfree is one of the controversial, maybe, like, Pokemon right now. Like, a lot of people are kind of scared of it.
Yeah.
Because, like, we'll talk more about it later. It's I really like Butterfree as a Pokemon. Whenever I was playing Fire Red and Leaf Green, I know I played through those games a lot when I was young. I would just keep restarting them, and I'd always have a Butterfree on my team because I think it's really cool. I like purple, and it gets I always do Sleep Powder Dream Eater, which I thought was fun.
Oh yeah, that was cool. Yeah, it got Dream Eater pretty early, and then when it got Quiver Dance, that was when it became like an actual thing that you could use in competitive.
I don't know about that.
I always think of Butterfree from the Bye Bye Butterfree episode.
Yeah, yeah.
The first season.
I know, and the pink one.
Anime, which is infamous. Yeah, he like finds his love, and then he has to go off with the... Also, that's not even Butterfree's official shiny. That is some doctored pink nonsense. Anyway, 112 for our second cancer Pokemon this week is Rhydon, which interestingly enough, that was hard. It's been a long week. It's only Wednesday. Was like more competitively relevant than Rhyperior until like yesterday.
I think in 2014, I remember, I think it was Keegan that cut a regional with like Rhyperior, not with Rhydon Charizard. And I feel like if you're running Lightning Rod, Rhydon's better because it's bulkier. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Obviously, Rhyperior does some other stuff a lot better. I also
we'll
like
talk about that later too.
Right. Yeah. I think like random trivia. I think Rhydon was the first Pokemon that was ever like fully designed.
Right. That's why all the statues look like it. Right.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is kind of cool.
Yeah, that's neat. Cool little trivia there. Number 212 is Scizor, which was unfortunately dexited. And, you know, not a Pokemon that I've always had a ton of affinity for, to be honest. But I know that, you know, a lot of people really do like it. It's a very, like, fan popular Pokemon among the fans. And,
yeah.
Like, I understand why. It has, like, a sleek, cool aesthetic with the Chompies and yeah. everything. Just not something I've ever personally been a huge fan of.
It's cool. Yeah, I agree. I think it's got a good design. I've never been super obsessed with it, and it hasn't really ever been super good in our relevant formats, at least. It's a monster in singles, but
yeah,
that's not really relevant to us.
I had a Mega Scizor on a team that I took to a regional in 2015.
Why?
With it was like a surf spam team. It had like
what?
Gastrodon and Scarf, Politoed and Absorbolt Ludicolo.
Oh, Brendan.
And Scizor was just like a mega slot, and it didn't take that much damage from friendly surf, so it was okay.
Okay. Maybe that's why you don't like Scizor.
That was, I started out 3-4-0 at that regional, and then finished 4-3. That was sad. I definitely got screen peaked, though. In hindsight, definitely got screen peaked.
Uh-huh.
That's not even a joke. Like, I definitely got screen peaked. I was using a 2DS, but that's a story for
another
day.
Well, you asked for it.
I did. 312 is Minun, which is the follow-up to Plusle last week. They form kind of a pair, and I think we talked a little bit about them, but I think they're a cool and like underrated design together.
A lot of these like kind of random Pokemon that aren't really relevant competitively, I have opinions of based on either the anime or Pokemon Go, and Minun is an example of it being Pokemon Go relevant, because the last Silph Cup I played, Minun was like usable, and I think it was very overhyped. I don't think I ever lost to one. But it was kind of weird that like Minun was like the best electric type in that cup.
Is that its first competitive relevance ever?
Probably.
Like across all generations and all formats.
I would imagine, yeah.
412 is Burmy, which I feel absolutely nothing towards.
Same, yeah.
It exists. I forget that it exists very frequently, so I having to actually remind myself that it exists here. 512 is Simisage. Like just all the monkeys are bad. We talked about them last week. I think,
can we just
I
like skip
said,
this slot for the next 4 weeks?
Yeah. And we're going into the worst ones too.
I know.
You said last week that you favor the grass ones more than the others, which I think I agree with. But yeah, definitely a trio to forget, and they're why I'm a Dexeter. 612 is Haxorus, which was not dexited and actually is seeing like a little bit of play right now, because it's one of those things that, you know, Moldbreaker is kind of good to hit Rotom right now, and then it's one of those things that, you know, benefits from the artificial bulk offered by Dynamax and like getting to boost stats and things like that.
I really like Haxorus just aesthetically. It's like one of the most badass designs, I think. And I really liked Drayden as a character in Black and White, and I think the pairing of those two is really cool. I also remember back in Gen 5 singles, I think there were exactly two Pokemon in the format that could switch in on Choice Band Outrage and not get 2-hit KO'd. Like Skarmory and Fortress, and that was it.
Wow.
It's crazy.
That was back before power, like Gen 5, I feel like, was the start of power creep, and since then, like, Haxorus is not like us. Like, I always remember when Chandelure came out and people were losing their minds at the base stat, and now it's just kind of like pedestrian.
Right.
Haxorus falls into that category as
for
well.
For sure.
712 is Bergmite, which, again, I don't feel a whole lot towards. I know that there are a lot of people that are big enthusiasts of Ice Table, so I guess.
Maybe it's Ice Coffee Table, Ice Night Stand.
Tommy in particular is who I think about whenever I think
Always.
About Ice Table.
And how it doesn't have Icicle Crash.
Right. And Bergmite, though, I don't feel anything towards it.
Yeah, it's just there.
It's fine. When I was playing through Sword and Shield, I think I saw one in the overworld, and I was like really excited that it was like a brand new ice type. And then I just ran into it, and I was like, oh, it's just freaking Bergmite, and I forgot that it existed.
That's funny.
Because here's why, Jake. So, like, before the games came out, Jake had taken a peek at the Pokedex, like when everything was coming out, and he was like, "Brendan, I just have to tell you that there are two slush rushers." And I had this in the back of my mind, like while I was playing through the game, and I was looking through the slush rushers, looking through the slush. So every time I saw an ice type, I was like, "This is it! This is the slush rusher." But unfortunately, none of the things that I ran into in the overworld were the slush rushers, because those are two unreleased abilities. Sad times. Sad times. And our last Pokemon for the week, and we've talked about this line last week, is Rillaboom. He bang on drum with stick.
He bang on drum with two stick.
Two sticks, yeah. Yeah. I think he only hits one stick when he uses the Dynamax moves, though.
Oh, whatever.
Yeah, yeah, he hits just the one drum.
I mean, Rillaboom is cool, I guess.
I'm fine with Rillaboom.
It's okay. It's not the best design,
it's
I think.
Better than Thwacky.
That's true, yeah. I think Groupie, Rillaboom, Thwacky in that order. But I do think Rillaboom's going to be pretty good when it gets Grassy Surge. If only
U-turn
because...
U-turn Fake Out Grassy, yeah.
Yeah, well, that and... Well, yeah, I guess U-turn Fake Out Grassy, like, knock off. Mm. Drum beating, I guess, is cool. But...
Yeah, it's like as a grass stab, sure.
Yeah, if only... If for no other reason than resetting...
Lower speed.
Psychic Terrain, because that's pretty important right now. And there are some pretty good practical uses for not having that up.
Yeah, there's not a whole lot else that can, like, Psychic Terrain is the only terrain right now for all intents. Well, that can be set by an ability outside of the max moves, but like Pinkurchin doesn't really exist. And Jake, I'm sorry, but when Psychic Terrain is everywhere, you can't drag Weezy around. All right, so that wraps up our Dash 12s for this week. I can't believe we're on episode 12 already.
I know.
We're just content creating.
We've been going for like 5 months now.
We're creating content. We're churning them out.
Actually, 5 months from today, we released on July 4th.
Oh, did we really?
Yeah, and we're recording on Wednesday, the 4th of December right now.
5 month anniversary. I know. Congratulations, Brendan and Jake. I'll drop my Venmo in the link description.
Yeah, there we go.
Wants to send any congratulations.
We'll create it. We'll make a 5 month anniversary celebratory Patreon. How about that?
This is I always heard that the 5 month mark is where the money really starts to roll in.
So. All right. We did actually get some pretty exciting news today. We did find out that the 2020 VGC rules had been announced.
Woo!
Which is exciting. That's always a big announcement. There's always some pretty reasonable speculation. They've fallen into somewhat of a cycle where they use like a regional decks the first year of a new game, followed by national decks, followed by Uber's formats. And that did ring true here. So it's basically the same as Battle Stadium doubles with a few key differences, the biggest one being Gigantamaxes.
Yeah, so... They basically announced that there's going to be like, I don't know if they actually announced. Oh, they did. They did announce it. I wasn't sure if it was just speculated based on what they made available, but they did announce that there's basically just going to be like a rotation of Gigantamaxes. So I don't know whether or not that means that they're just going to continue to add to the pool or whether or not they're actually going to rotate them out.
I was wondering that
way,
too. Yeah.
It's kind of creating an interesting dynamic. And I have to imagine that like in the same way that the 2019 format played out, that they're just going to kind of like cut everything loose as we go towards the World Championships.
Right. I'd be surprised if they had something legal and then removed it. I would imagine they just add to the list of legal things.
I think that would probably make the most sense. But right now, they allowed basically all of the ones that are like easy to obtain.
Right.
So for now, it includes Butterfree, Corviknight, Dreadnought, Centiskorch, Meowth, Pikachu, Eevee, Snorlax, Sandaconda, and Charizard. So if you've been keeping up with the game, you'll know that most of that is not particularly relevant.
Right.
There are like a couple of what if scenarios where some of them could find some relevance, like if Pikachu had Lightning Rod, if Charizard had Blaze.
Solar Power.
You might... that's what I meant. Yeah. Solar Power does have Blaze. You might see those kind of like find their way into usage, but for right now it's going to be kind of limited to just, you know, like Butterfree, in the sense that there's not a reason to not use it if you want it on your team. Like, you may as well have the Gigantamax and not the Dynamax, and Snorlax, which was anticipated to be much better than it seems like it's actually going to be, because the activation of the ability is random.
It's in the same boat as Grimmsnarl. We thought that Grimmsnarl's G-Max move had like a guaranteed yawn effect on both targets, but it seems like it's only one target and it's also not guaranteed anymore. And so we're still not sure like the numbers on Snorlax's G-Max move either, but it is confirmed to not be guaranteed for either you or your partner, but it still can't affect the partner, so it's not as big of a change as Grimmsnarl.
Right.
But yeah, I agree, though. I think of these, you don't... Like you'd actively not want G-Max on a lot of them. So, like, Corviknight,
yes, yeah.
Max Airstream is going to be better than its G-Max move. Like, Dreadnought, maybe. I don't know if Dreadnought ever wants Sand Up, so you could just set rocks for free if you really want to.
Right.
I don't even remember what Scent of Scorches does, if I'm being honest.
I think it's, like, Fire Spin.
Okay. I mean, that's not bad.
Yeah, it has, like, a Fire Spin effect. Like, if you're going to use Scent of Scorch, you may as well for that one, I guess. And although, then, I guess Setting Sun is also kind of good. I don't know.
Meowth, Pikachu, Eevee, no one's ever going to use those. Snorlax.
Pikachu, again, if it had Lightning Rod, I feel like you could see people running, like, Discharge next to it, because its max move is actually, like, Spread Paralysis is very good.
That's true, yeah.
But you have to use Pikachu to get it.
Yeah. Snorlax will certainly be to, like, incredible, it, though. Yeah. Like, it was already good. This is going to make it even better. It's not going to break it. I think if it was a guaranteed Berry Replenish, then... that might have been a little bit too crazy, which I mean, might have been why they decided not to make it guaranteed.
Yeah, thank you.
Shout out to Cambridge. Thank you very much. And then Sandaconda is just not a good one.
No, you won't see that at all. Snorlax, I think it makes it more interesting at team preview more than anything else.
Right.
Like, once you know what it is, I think that, like, there's going to be a play pattern for both of them. But, you know, not knowing whether or not you're going to just get, like, coin flipped into G-Max Replenish and lose the game. Like,
well, the thing is, I think there are also still applications to just using regular Max Strike. Like,
definitely.
If you're using, like, Turbolax, like, that's kind of been a thing in the past where you'd run really fast Snorlax. I think Max Strike is better. If you're running Trick Room, where you actively don't want to lower speeds, then I think you run G-Max no matter what. But there's a lot of things that could, like, change with Snorlax, which is kind of cool.
Definitely. Yeah, it's a cool Pokemon.
Yeah.
And the G-Max form is very cool looking.
Yes.
It took Torterra's thing away from it, but it's really cool.
It looks like the Amity Park from Gen 4 in Hardhome.
Oh, it does. Yeah. It does kind of. I wonder if it's designed that way.
Probably not.
Anyway, we got off on a tangent right. A little bit there, Jake, but the other relevant change that was announced as part of the rules is the timers.
Yeah. I personally... I'm not buying that this is a bad thing. Like,
Yeah, the knee jerk was just, like, so negative.
Yeah.
And I don't know.
Like, I miss the old timer. if you asked me to pick between, like, 2016 and earlier timer and, like, your time, just having one of the two, mm-hmm. I would pick the game timer 100% of the time. And yeah, I think this is a really happy medium between the two.
I've always liked your time a lot. I think your time makes a lot of sense, but I don't know that I agree with 15 minutes as the number for game time yet. And I think we'll find out a little bit more based on Dallas, but I think that this format has a tendency to, like, it can play very slow. Especially with a lot of, like, the bulky Trick Room stuff that's starting to come out.
Right.
Thanks, Alex Underhill.
Well, that, and I think a lot, there's a lot more long animations too.
That too, yeah. As and it just can be, like, a lot of dead time, and 15 minutes seems a little low. Like, yeah. I think I would have rather seen it be 20 or 25 minutes, but then you're kind of messing with the 50 minute round timer, obviously.
Yeah, I think 25 is a little much. I can see a case for 20, but I still don't really think 15 is going to be actively bad.
No, I don't think it's a bad thing, and this is all just kind of me being like, eh, it could be a little short.
Right.
And, you know, the games have the potential to be over in three turns with Dynamax, so it's not going to be something that, like once people picked up on the old timer, it was, like, a persistent thing. Like, people were taking it to time, like, regularly as a win condition, and I don't think that that's necessarily going to be as prevalent.
I agree, yeah.
But it's gonna be a factor, though.
Yep.
All right, so those are our rules for 2020. There are going to be updates to them as we find out, you know, what the Gigantamax release schedule is. Obviously, Snorlax, I think the raid started, like, yesterday at midnight.
Something like that, time zone.
So it seems kind of like there's going to be, like, open season for each Pokemon at some point. And then they'll kind of get added into the rule set as they're opened up. Do you know what the time? How many weeks was Snorlax opened up for?
Like, I don't remember. I think it's through at least the end of the year.
I thought it was into January.
That's quite possible.
I'd have to double check. Maybe it's a month or something like that. I should have looked that up. But anyway, yeah, that's kind of where we stand with the rules. So keep an eye on that, as things will be changing, not quite as drastically as between like Ultra and whatever series, but a little bit different. So let's go into the ladder here.
Yeah.
I pulled 15 teams we pulled from the top of the Battle Spot doubles ladder, and people are not hiding very much yet, so I was able to do it in just 17 teams, which is pretty close to our record. I think it's definitely up there. But at the top of the ladder this week is a team of Tyranitar, Dracovish, Rotom Cut, Duraludon, Grimmsnarl, and Excadrill. And this is just kind of one of those teams that it's like good stuffs. This is what good stuffs looks like right now, people.
Yeah, no, definitely. I think all six of these mons have a pretty good place on good stuffs. Duraludon might be the one kind of standout. But I really like Duraludon as a Pokemon. I think it has some really cool techs that you can run with it. Mm-hmm. And like obviously Tyranitar, Dracovish, Excadrill, Rotom, Grimmsnarl, those are all pretty common now. So this is going to be something that I think we'll see for a little while people still get comfortable with the format.
Yeah, I think Duraludon upticked a little bit when Indeedee Hat was all over the place.
Right.
And that's kind of like one of the few ways that you can, one of the few things that you can throw at it to try and like prevent it from just walking all over you.
Yep.
So that's kind of, I think, how it found itself into higher usage after being kind of middling through the first week or so. The next team on the ladder is Indeedee, Mandibuzz, Excadrill, Dusclops, Torkoal, and Goodra. So this is pretty unique. I definitely haven't seen that six before, but you can see that there's like a couple of pairings. There's like a hard trick room mode, and then presumably Psychic Seed, Mandibuzz.
Right.
Flying type plus Excadrill is always going to be good. So it's interesting.
I think we should take a shot for every Excadrill we see.
I don't want to die today, Jake.
Fine,
I have to work tomorrow.
Well, at Dallas, we'll have a fun night of ladder stalking or something. I don't know.
Are we keeping count starting now?
Oh, God. We'll see. But the point being, Excadrill is like really good.
It really is.
Even like outside of sand, I think Moldbreaker Excadrill is very good if you have flying type partners. Because yep. Rotom is so popular, and Moldbreaker just like tears through Rotom, which is really cool.
Gives it the business.
Yeah.
Yep.
No, cool team. I like Indeedee. It's like a really, really good support mon. You pretty much guarantee a free turn for your partner with Psychic Terrain and Follow Me. Mm-hmm. Torkoal, I think, is going to be cool, especially if something like Rain doesn't really get popular, which I haven't seen a whole lot of yet so far.
Which is still weird to me.
Yeah, I'm surprised as well. It might just be because Ludicolo is kind of underwhelming, but...
That's possible, yeah. But Bearskuda is not. Bearskuda is good.
Right.
Next team on the ladder is another very good stuffy-looking team with Braviary, Excadrill, Rotom Wash, Arcanine, Grimmsnarl, and Sylveon.
Yeah, I mean, Grimmsnarl... I think what Grimmsnarl does best is Prankster Thunderwave.
Agreed.
Like,
I was going to say
with
that,
something like Sylveon, that's a really good partner because Sylveon can outspeed most things if they're paralyzed. So if you just Thunderwave the threat and then Hyper Voice, something probably gets knocked out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Grimmsnarl is pretty scary. I like screens is neat, but I don't think that's its best attribute by any means.
Yeah.
I think it's just kind of like it has extra movesets,
like
slots, and you don't.
I was running Grimmsnarl with
like that.
I had like fake out Thunderwave Foul Play. I was like, I don't know what else to
that's
use.
Neat.
I'll just throw Light Screen on, and it's been good.
Yeah, you may as well.
Yeah. I don't think it's a necessity.
Agreed. The next team on the ladder is similar, but we have Grimmsnarl, Duraludon, Excadrill, Tyranitar, Rotom Cut, and then Galarian Darmanitan. Which is seeing kind of niche use, but is definitely good and definitely scary. Those like those boosted U-turns do like a million damage.
Yeah. I think Darmanitan and Dracovish are in very similar camps where they both just do a ton of damage. They're not super bulky, so they need to be avoiding taking damage, but most of the time if they're getting an attack off, something is getting knocked out. I think Dracovish is getting more hype just because of the social media aspect of it. Like
cough, wolf, cough.
Yeah, I know exactly. And I've been seeing even like Alpharad, I don't know if you know who he is, but he's like another YouTuber that does like other games. But even
he
was like,
Wolf.
He released a video about Dracovish. Like it's spreading everywhere. But Darmanitan fills a very similar role, I think.
Yeah, I agree. Although it wasn't blessed with the typing that Dracovish was.
That's true.
A little bit more room for error. We're going to continue our tour through good stuff, says our next team on the ladder is Rotom Wash, Sylveon, Excadrill, Braviary, Arcanine, Grimmsnarl. That might be the same six as we saw, but yeah, it is. Yep, it's the same six.
Oh, yeah.
Just in a different order. Just in a different order.
Let's see.
The next team on the ladder, a little bit different, quite different. Dusclops, Lapras, Gastrodon, Arcanine, Snorlax, and Indeedee. that was one that really jumped out at me on the ladder. There's like a hard trick room component, but it does pick up this kind of like surf spam thing that was, when was the last time that was popular? Was it the end of 2015 or 2018? There was some like
the Gastro King
surf team like that. Yeah, Gastro, that's what it was.
I think
it got used
in 2017, but I think the was main team was 2015.
Gotcha.
I think it started back in like 2012 or 2013.
Yeah, who made that? Wasn't it like
Roshan, I think.
Was it Roshan? That's right. Yeah. That's right. Yeah, because he had like normal Kangaskhan on it in 2012, like before it had a Mega or anything.
Yeah,
like that.
Yeah.
I remember that. But yeah, Hard Trick Room being like kind of a big deal in the early meta, mm-hmm. especially after Alex and Angel recently released that team that is kind of like the definitive Hard Trick Room team at this point, I think.
Yeah.
Definitely has a lot more tools to succeed than it has in the past. And Galar introduced like a lot of very slow things.
Yeah, a lot of the new Galar mons are like explicitly slow.
Yeah, which... I think that's kind of something that's been like more of a design tendency as we've gone on, is to try and min-max things mm-hmm. so they're not just like everything has 80 base stats and it never sees the light of day.
Yeah.
So they min-max a little bit more, and when speed gets the axe, then you know you find your way onto a trick room. The next team on the ladder here is Dusclops, Arcanine, Gastrodon, Togekiss, Rhyperior, and Haxorus.
I love Rhyperior. I've been using Rhyperior a lot on a team I got from Blake, and it's super fun. I think I don't know this team in the ladder, but the team that I've been using is Weakness Policy with Bulldoze, and you can just Trick Room Bulldoze, start attacking everything. And something is probably getting knocked out every turn. There was one game where I like trick roomed, bulldozed, and then clicked Max Rockfall 3 times and got 3 KOs.
Yeah, I think Dusclops is something that's been doing that. So you definitely see that. Could see that next to Rhyperior with Bulldoze. And then Gastrodon, obviously a really good partner for Rhyperior to wick away the water type of
thing. Yeah, for sure.
The next team here, Hawlucha and Didi. So there's your pair there. With Gastrodon, Galarian, Darmanitan, Arcanine and Whimsicott. So there's a whole bunch of like kind of pairs there. Obviously Arcanine, Whimsicott gives you the beat up stuff. Arcanine, Gastrodon is like a pair that goes back a bunch of years.
Yeah.
And then Hawlucha and Didi goes you know, that's obviously the psychic seed on Bird and Hawlucha that mm-hmm. can be very scary. It's like, I think, instantly the fastest thing in the format, barring rain boosted Barrascoota. When it gets the boost.
Yeah, and I think Swords Dance Unburdened Hawlucha is going to be really scary because it did finally get close combat. It used to rely on High Jump Kick, which was fine for OU. It was a really strong threat there. But High Jump Kick, much less reliable in a format where most mons have Protect. So getting close combat means it has that strong fighting move. It has Acrobatics still, so it has that strong flying move. And flying and fighting are two of the best, if not the two best, max moves to use on a physical mon, especially one that's trying to sweep. So if you have stab, strong, fighting, and flying moves, and you're at +2, and you're at double speed with Unburden, and you can start rolling the ball with Dynamax, I think that's something that could start running away with games.
Yeah, definitely. I think individual sweepers like that haven't always had like the level of success in doubles that they have in singles.
Yeah.
But you know, Hawlucha, if anything's going to make it work, Hawlucha obviously has the tools there.
Yep.
Our first Dragapult shows up here in the next team, alongside Tyranitar, Excadrill, Rotom W, Arcanine, and Corviknight. So another good stuffs team. Dragapult Sand is something that's seen a lot of play, and you know, next to a flying type like Braviary, Corviknight makes a lot of sense.
I agree. Yeah, I think Dragapult's really cool. I think I'm starting to favor some of the more like supporty sets, like a really fast Will-O-Wisp, I think, is really good in this meta. But like the offensive sets are still great too. I think people are starting to lean more towards special than physical, which might be a little bit better just because its special moves are better than its physical moves. But I don't know, still really cool.
It's scary. Scary Pokemon. It's like one of the reasons that I have a hard time giving Indeedee up is just like I really just don't want to get like Max Phantasm on turn one. Like I really don't want to.
Right.
Please don't do this. The next team on the ladder is Charizard, Dragapult, Torkoal, Mimikyu, Scrafty, and Duraludon. So you see that the Charizard Torkoal combination is actually really scary. Like Charizard is kind of good. It'll blow you away.
Yeah, like Solar Power Life Orb does a lot of damage. It's probably Solar Power Specs, Solar Power Scarf.
Yeah.
It's probably stronger than Mega, I would imagine, with Life Orb.
It should be.
Yeah, and Solar Power.
Yeah.
So that's pretty...
I don't think it even needs a boosting item to do more damage than the Mega, right? Well, if Sun's up.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. And then, obviously, the Trick Room option is there with Torkoal, Mimikyu. Mm-hmm. Mimikyu is still one of the, you know, best setters thanks to well, most guaranteed setters thanks to Disguise, which did get nerfed, but is still obviously really good.
Right.
The next team on the ladder, we're back to our tour of good stuffs here. I think we might have seen this six, actually. Grimmsnarl, Duraludon, Rotom W, Braviary, Excadrill, Tyranitar.
If not this six, so, then I think it might have been Rotom Moe, but same thing.
Yeah, yeah. So if you're looking to, like, look at these kinds of teams if you want to succeed in the meta. The next team is Rotom Wash, Bronzong, Togekiss, Rhyperior, Scrafty, and Dragapult.
It's kind of cool.
So obviously, pretty aggressive Trick Room mode there, yeah. But also being able to function with like Rotom and Dragapult, both of which get, you know, U-turn Volt Switch options as well. Mm-hmm. It's kind of interesting.
Yeah, this is like another take on like Rhyperior, Bronzong, Trick Room, but with a more established fast mode, which is kind of neat. So I'm a fan. I could see this being something like Dragon Dance, Dragapult with like Scrafty, Togekiss. That's kind of cool.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's a scary set too.
Yeah.
Dragapult at plus one is no joke.
No, not at all.
Next team on the ladder is similar with we're back to the Surf Spam here, but some of the mons were changed out. We've got Dusclops, Lapras, Gastrodon, Togekiss, Snorlax, and Duraludon. So I think that, what is that? They subbed in Snorlax is there. Oh, Togekiss and Duraludon instead of, okay. So a different redirector and then like a Glumon with Duraludon, Arcanine there.
It's pretty cool. I think Togekiss Lax is going to be crazy.
Yep.
Even like you could run like Soldew Togekiss if you really want.
Yeah, I've been running that a little bit on Life the ladder. Dew. It's not...
Soldew's the item.
Life Dew, yeah. Soldew's the item. Yeah, Life Dew is... 25% is not as much as you want it to be,
right,
I
but
guess, sometimes.
On Lax, I think
like,
anything...
But if it's a dead turn or like you're trying to call a switch or something like that, yeah. Like sure, we'll take the 25%. That's like kind of how I've been using it.
Yeah.
We've got two teams to go here. The next one has Gigalith next to Excadrill alongside Corviknight, Rotom Wash, Gastrodon, and Arcanine. So, I don't know if... like. Do you need to run Gigalith? Like, what's the point of running Gigalith? Like, honestly, I'm asking.
Trick Room, I guess, but, like, this team doesn't have
Trick
Room.
There's not even a setter
on
the team.
Yeah,
yeah.
So I don't know.
Just use Tyranitar.
Less bad against fighting types?
Sure.
Yeah, I don't know. I think Tyranitar
probably takes on
better.
Excadrill a little bit better because it's got higher defense.
Yeah, that's true. I don't know.
Sure. I mean, like, fine. It takes on Torkoal better. There you go.
I guess. Does it, though?
Isn't it slower than Torkoal?
No, it's not.
The next team on the ladder is Hydreigon, Mimikyu, Arcanine, Rotom Cut, Braviary, and Conkeldurr. So a lot of very common Pokemon, but at least a unique six to me. I think our only Hydreigon of the week.
Yeah, I think so. And only Conk. I think
Conk's good.
Yeah, they're both good Pokemon. I think Hydreigon... I think it's actually a pretty good Dynamax mon because it's going to have super strong like Wurmwind with Draco Meteor, and Darkness combos well with itself because you drop their special defense, so the next one's going to be stronger. So I think it's pretty cool. I've placed one on Battle Stadium.
Definitely.
It's kind of annoying.
And without Tapus, it actually gets to see the light of day.
Yeah.
Like it's mostly just like contending with Sylveon and Whimsicott, which is a new experience for it after it was basically just like kicked in the face with the introduction of fairies.
It also got Nasty Plot, which I think is going to be kind of scary if people
did
start
it really?
To figure that out. Yeah.
Whoa, I didn't know that.
Yeah, it did.
Interesting. It has a hard time fitting it.
It does, but like
you
if
can
you kind of
get away
it.
With running like boosting move and three attacks in this format, so I can kind of see that being sort of good. Anyway, that's it for the ladder this week. Some interesting stuff. I know we're spending a lot of time talking about it. I know we had like kind of like gotten down to like 3 minutes flat on when we were doing Ultra Series ladder because it was just like Xerneas, Groudon,
right?
But now that we actually have things to talk about, it's a little bit more of like an interesting conversation, which is good. Speaking of Xerneas, Groudon, we do have one Ultra Series major that we need to touch on just very briefly because it did happen. There were 35 people
something
at the tournament,
like that. Yeah, it was
like
kind
30,
of pathetic.
30 something. The format is effectively dead. It was on Thanksgiving weekend.
Yeah.
And it was in Florida. So,
there was,
like, dude,
oh, wait, pause.
There's the math for you.
I don't know about that one.
what?
Yeah.
You said, what?
There, like, all the cards were stacked against this regional from the get-go. I think everyone knew this was going to be pretty poorly attended. And, like,
yep.
I wouldn't have guessed it would be this bad, but it was bad.
But hey, guess what? You still get 200 CP
that's
and $1,000
yeah.
for winning it.
Congrats
so,
to Brady. I think it's second regional win, right?
Yep. And, maybe this is just I just don't think he loses in the state of Florida.
Yeah.
Like, and I talk to TJ as his TO all the time, just like when was last time Brady didn't win a local in Florida? You know, like everybody loses one every once in a while, right? Like, I just don't think he loses in the state of Florida.
Yeah.
And this is just kind of like, you know, sort of like hammering the point home. Anyway, JoeUX9, Joseph Ugarte, was at second there, and I believe he took over the CP lead with this finish,
okay.
As I understand it. So congratulations to him. He obviously had his Yveltal Groudon team that he's been running all over. And I forgot what Brady was to mention what Brady was running, which is Xerneas Groudon, Salamence, Tapu Fini, Incineroar, and Shedinja. So nothing new there.
Yeah.
Rounding out top four were Steven Mia and Will Marks, who are running the same five but with a different primal. The five being Xerneas, Kangaskhan, Incineroar, Tornadus, and Amoongus. And then Steven had his Kyogre. That's the team that he's been running, you know, basically all season. Mm-hmm. And then Will had the Groudon, which is basically standard Kangtorn at this point. Mm-hmm. And then rounding out top eight, we had nothing really to write home to mom about except for Bingji, who did get into top eight with his Palkia Rayquaza stuff. And Nick Harper managed to get into eighth place there with a Groudon, Duskmane Necrozma, Salamence, Tapu Lele, and then two different steals, Bisharp and Stack Attacka. So that's kind of interesting, like to have three steals there.
Mm-hmm.
He probably didn't have to play too much Xerneas, but...
Yeah. Renee's team is kind of cool too. It's like it's Kangtorn, but with the Oranguru over the Amoongus, which is kind of neat.
Oh,
I guess like you could run like
that is kind of neat. I like looked right past it.
Yeah, you can like Eruption Instruct. I imagine is the biggest application, but even like Dazzling Gleam or something.
Maybe he was just playing a lot of 2020, and he had you know, like an Oranguru team, and he was like, you know what, I don't want to play Ultra Series for real. Yeah. Anyway, Ultra Series is dead.
Well, that's last member of top eight was Ashton using. XL. Yes. I think that's the team they used for a while. Don't want to leave him out.
Yep.
But yeah, Ultra Series
is dead.
Quite dead. We do have San Diego left.
There's one more, right?
Yeah, which hopefully shouldn't be as...
It can't be worse attended.
I was going to say, it shouldn't be that bad. I doubt it's going to be big by any means, but San Diego's the last one, and then we have Bochum in Germany and then Dallas in Texas in January. Those are both the first 2020 regionals of their regions. So those will be really fun.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that a lot. I wonder, like, I would love if we hit like 400.
That would be insane. I would love that.
I feel like it's within the realm of possibility.
I don't disagree. That, yeah, like, if there's gonna be a regional that does it, it's gonna be Dallas. Like, it's always
is. Dallas is regularly the best attended. Yeah. I just hope that they're like prepared to run
right
the tournament with like locally with that many people.
Yeah.
Okay, we've got some other tournaments to go through here before we will take our break. Zach Carlson, Professor Shroomish, also known as the runner of VGC stats, has been hosting online tournaments called the Galar Weekly. We've had two of them. The first one was last weekend, Thanksgiving weekend, I think.
Yes.
Or no, the second one was Thanksgiving weekend, and the other one was the weekend before that. There have been two. He's been releasing stats. He's doing all sorts of data analysis as he's collecting all these teams as we go through the format here. So we've got teams, we've got usage stats, and then we've got a combination of usage stats between the 2 weeks. So we'll at least, at the very least, run through teams here, starting with week one. So we'll kind of run down and highlight some of the things. This tournament was... very early.
Yeah, it was there been like a ton 9 days of meta after the game's yet. Release, I think.
Yeah, and it's like very heavily dominated by Whimsicott, Excadrill, Rotomwash, and Tyranitar.
Also worth noting that this is using the Battle Stadium Doubles rule set, so these are not Gigantamax legal.
Correct.
This is before we knew the rule set for 2020, just to point that out.
There are no Gigantamaxes, right. So the first one was won by Nails, who's using a team of Excadrill, Tyranitar, Rotomwash, Whimsicott, Gyarados, and Chandelure. Chandelure obviously being the one Pokemon that stands out a little bit. Yeah. Everything else is very standard, very common. The second place team was Spurrific, who's got Togekiss, what is that called? Snorlax, which you mentioned, Jake. But also has, you know, the Excadrill, Rotomwash, Whimsicott, and then Dracovish is his last Pokemon there. So very good stuffy. We're not breaking from the good stuffs here at number three, although we do have our first Corviknight, which has sort of kind of fallen off a little bit, I think, as we've gone forward a little bit. I think it was just kind of an instant reaction to sand, and it's a good reaction to sand.
It's a very strong reaction to sand, for sure.
Yeah, there's not so much Tyranitar. A lot of people are, like, dropping the sand mode in favor of having just Excadrill, so Corviknight is not, you know, quite as good as it could be. But Rayquaza had his sand, the two sand mons, Corviknight, Sylveon, which I think is awesome, Rotom Cut, and then Arcanine, so very standard. We have a Toxtricity coming in at number 4, which is a cool Pokemon that hasn't seen a lot of play. It's one of those things where I, like, mash the panic button at team preview, but, like, I don't know how good it actually is. I just know that it, like, has the potential to, you know, like, take 4 KOs on 2 turns if you leave it alone.
To me, it looks aesthetically way faster than it actually is. Like, I look at Toxtricity and I think, oh, like, 120, 130 base speed. It just looks like it should be fast. And then it comes out, like,
I've ever had that thought.
Like, 75, 80, 70, something like that. I kind of see what you mean. It's, like, in the 70, 80 range, I think.
I think it's 75.
Yeah, which is really disappointing. And, like, Electric Poison is cool because it's new, but it doesn't really have great coverage in general. Like, they don't really cover for each other's weaknesses
at all.
Yeah,
I mean, it lets Electric... Like, Electric is a great offensive type, and it lets you push through the grasses. Which
right.
Are, like, that and ground is, like, the two things that can really stop electricity, so it helps in that sense. But, like, it's not actually a good, you know, coverage combination. It's just, like, he's just a strong special attacker, I guess. I don't think Toxtricity has been unlocked yet. I feel like at some point somebody's going to have a team that, like, supports it really well. But not yet. We're not there yet.
Yeah.
Let's see. Angel came in at number 5th, where he was using Hydreigon and Scrafty, so a double Dark Core there alongside Sylveon, Dracovish. And this was kind of before the Dracovish mania took over, when these guys were kind of on the forefront of using it, when they were like, oh my god, Fish's Friend does so much damage, and then Wolf kind of, like, turned it into a meme. And then Rotom Wash and Corviknight are the last two Pokemon on that team.
I remember being in a call with Angel, like we were all, like, raiding. We were all doing a bunch of, like, max raids. And he was resetting for Dracovish at the time. And I was thinking, like, why would you do that? That thing seems really bad and weird. And then people started using it. And I was like, oh, I was very wrong. I'm sorry.
Hard countered by Arctovish. Don't forget it. Lexicon at number 6. This is obviously from 2 weeks ago, before he pumped out his first Trick Room team. Is using the same team that Nails was, with that Chandelure.
Mm-hmm.
Soch King at number 7 with Sand, Dragapult, Rotom, Sylveon, and Braviary. That guy's a slave to the meta, so, like, that's probably the kind of team you'll see him run all season. River Davis, I don't know how to pronounce his online name, so I'm not going to try to.
Yeah.
There's too many K's black. For me. There's no A, though, so it's not even black.
True.
With the Sand Core, Corviknight, Dragapult, Rotomo, and then an Indeedee, which I think is, like, a great 6th Glumon there.
Yeah, I think there's...
This is the...
There's, like, never a Go bad ahead. Time to throw Indeedee on a team.
Agree. Indeedee is super good. And then if you have Corviknight there, you can slap a Psychic Seed on there, which is a good item for it.
Yep.
And then Mogar here at number 9 is running that Surf Weavile stuff with the Colossal, where you Surf and activate Steam Engine and Weakness Policy at the same time.
Yeah.
Which sounds a lot better than I think it actually is, but people weren't really prepared for it in the first week of the season. And then he's got a Gastrodon there for a little bit more synergy, and then Braviary, Gyarados, Excadrill. Number 10, the Sand Core with Togekiss, Hitmontop, which I think is probably a pretty good Pokemon. I think fighting types are really good, and that people haven't quite figured that out yet.
Yeah.
And then Rotom Heat and Milotic. And then the last team at number 11 was Squirrel Boy with Sand, Whimsicott, Dragapult, Sylveon, and Rotom Heat. So... again, this is, like, the first, like, tournament ever in Galar. So this is, like, a very early representation of the metagame, and I don't think it actually looks a lot like that at all.
No, it's not, super like that anymore. It's starting to diverge a little bit. You know, if you move over to the Galar Weekly number 2, there's still a lot of sand in Top Cut. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 out of 8. Excadrill T-Tar, and then one more that has solo Tyranitar. Am I miscounting? 1, 2, 3.
I got it right. 1, 2, 3.
No, there's
4, 6.
5, 6. There's 6 plus 1.
Plus 1, yeah. So there's no Sandmons on only one team that was in the top cut there. Just for some of the highlights here, Galarian Weezing did win the tournament. And it was kind of funny. I feel like I watched some of those tournaments, and it's just so wild to, like, know that it's in the back, or watch it on the field, and know that he's either going to turn on all abilities at any point, or turn off all abilities at any point. And you just, like you prevent sand, you prevent sand rush, you prevent mold breaker, so you can, like, protect your own Rotom. There's, like, all sorts of these things,
so,
like, unique interactions that it makes, that it's, like, very hard to play. Like, you're in the driver. It's like playing trap almost, like, where, like, you know when the trap is set and your opponent can't do anything about it. You control when the abilities are on. So does neutralizing gas neutralize
no,
gas?
No, Brendan. Don't be stupid.
Okay. I wish it worked that way. Then if you had a Ditto, it would be like neutralizing gas, neutralizing the neutralizing gas, as neutralizing gas.
Lots. Okay, moving on.
That'd be cool. Anyway, there's a couple of Dracovish, and I think this tournament is kind of reflective a little bit of how Gastrodon is actually really good.
Yeah.
It checks Dracovish, it checks Rotom Wash.
It doesn't really check Rotom Wash because they just stalemate each other. Like, Gastrodon actually lost Toxic. It can't learn Toxic anymore. And so, like, the only way you're beating Rotom is if you Scald Burn it and then just watch it slowly die.
Or if you carry, like, Sludge Bomb or something like that. I got Max Oozed by Gastrodon.
Oh, dear. I mean, yeah, I guess. It stops Rotom from doing any damage. Like, obviously, you can't Volt Switch it and you can't hedge your opponents on the field. So that's good, at least.
Right.
But right. I think it's not as, like, as active as a stop to Rotom Wash as it could have been.
I think that's fair. So a lot of the interesting stuff in this tournament showed up just underneath Cut. The top eight Cut looked very, you know, kind of standard outside of that Weezing that ended up winning the tournament. But I think down below is where you'll start to see a lot of things that are a little bit more interesting as far as meta developments. So the first one, and most importantly to me, is that number 12 Lexicon has Hard Trick Room.
Yeah.
And this is relevant for a couple of reasons. First of all, because I think this team in isolation is very good right now as far as the way that it handles the meta. And also, like, if Alex is just going to be building Hard Trick Room the whole season,
that's like
look
terrifying.
Out.
Yeah.
Look out.
Alex is like the Hard Trick Room user.
Yeah, he is like Trick Room guy. And I think it's always interesting. Anytime he's on stream at a regional, Scott Glazer will go on Twitter and tweet about his respect for Alex. Uh-huh. And it's like, it's not unwarranted.
Oh,
he's
absolutely.
Like,
yeah.
Absolutely phenomenal Trick Room player.
Yeah. I really like Tommy's team too. It kind of reminds me of Godflex.
Yeah, that's the other one I was going to point out. Yeah,
like
Starlax, so he's got
Arcanine,
Nimlax,
Scrafty,
and Didi.
Mimikyu, Whimsicott, and Didi. Looks like a really solid Lex
awesome.
Team.
I think that's really cool, yeah. And then the last thing that I wanted to point out here is the Steelix that's at number 14 on 1-2-3-4-5's team. I think it's a cool Pokemon. It's one of those things that like goes away when it's Will-O-Wisp.
Yeah.
But it has Body Press and a 200 base defense stat, which is really like it's unique. Body Press has a lot of really unique interactions with Pokemon this generation.
Yeah.
And Steelix is probably one of the ones that uses it the best, especially because you can Steel Strike it up to basically like attack. Like it's the equivalent of being +3 and attacking off 200 base attack.
Yeah.
When you use Body Press, which is kind of nuts.
Yeah, I love it.
So Steelix is cool.
Body Press, I think, is a really cool move in general. I think it's really good on coordinate.
I wish they had
too.
More moves that were like unique like that.
Yeah,
that
I think they did a good job
so
with that this game. Like the Fishious Rend and Bolt Beakles are unique. I think there was one more I'm missing. I don't know.
And
not off the top of my head,
to
but
do it, they did cull a lot of moves that like didn't mean anything.
Right.
Like, outside of Return and Hidden Power, those were the only two that were like meta competitive. But they got rid of stuff like. Like Karate Chop.
Twin Needle.
Okay.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, no. Get Twin Needle back. So it's cool that if they're going to try and expand into like the unique things that they can do with moves to get rid of some of them, I'm totally fine with that. So anyway, those were the two Galar weekly cuts. We spent a lot of time talking today, but it's okay.
I know.
We've got so much stuff in Galar to cover that I'm totally fine
and
with it.
I'm super excited, too. I have no qualms about talking about it.
I'm really excited about the format. I could talk about it for a long time here. So thanks to everybody who's giving me a platform to do so. I hope you're still listening because Jake and I have both been kind of like going on and on and on about
and
different things.
And
we're just getting started. We're going to take a break for just a minute while you listen to some music. And then we're going to come back and kind of highlight, you know, some of we talked about already, but highlight a lot of the Pokemon that are returners from past gens and are also going to be very interesting and important to the meta as we approach the VGC 2020 season, so stay tuned. And welcome back to part two of episode 12 here on Soundproof. Again, I'm Brendan, and this is Jake. You know our online names by now. But anyway, we're here to kind of go through part two of our tour through the Galar Pokedex. And we've highlighted, how many do we have here? I think the list is numbered 34 returning Pokemon that we think are going to be important to the metagame. And, you know, this isn't exhaustive. It was pared down slightly for the sake of time. And, you know, there are always other things that can kind of sneak their way in based on some sort of niche usage. But if there was a tier list, picture a tier list in your head. This is S through C.
Yeah, that's probably pretty good way to think about it. I had, I think, 46 when I first made this list. Mm-hmm. And maybe even more than that before I started cutting them out. I just literally just read through the Galar Pokedex and picked out mons that I know were good and I know that could be good. Some of them are like our sleeper picks too, so they're like some of them might not have proven themselves yet, but you're listening to our podcast, you're listening to our opinions, and if you don't like that, please keep listening.
Please note that Jake just really liked Dexit so much that he needed to cull more Pokemon from the lists, and that's what this is part of.
I needed to feel the power.
The power that Game Freak feels. All right, so at the top of our list here is Butterfree, which we discussed briefly, and I think you kicked the can down the road as far as the discussion.
Right.
But anyway, Butterfree's Gigantamax move has a chance to either confuse or put to sleep everything that's on the field.
It's sleep, poison, or paralysis.
Oh,
it's like the three powder moves.
Oh, okay. Well, that makes more sense. Yeah. Anyway, it's
an equal chance between the three of them. Yeah, it's a 1 in 9 chance to be Dark Void, which is kind of scary, but
it has a chance to be just like terrible.
It has a chance to be poison gas.
Right, which as we know is not a good move.
Right, I think this is something that when the rules were announced like literally 10 hours ago, I think a lot of people started freaking out about it because they either had flashbacks to 16 where the new double sleep was really oppressive, or they just didn't like the random aspect of it. And I think those complaints
are
valid.
Yeah,
but I also think they're very overblown. Like I don't think Butterfree will ever be good. Like it'll be usable and it'll be really annoying to play against, but it's not gonna be like good in the classic sense where it's not gonna be consistent, it's not gonna be reliable. If you get double sleep, then you probably win. If you don't get double sleep, or if you don't get one sleep, then
you still have a Butterfree.
Right. Yeah, it's still, that's the thing too. It's also still a Butterfree. And Butterfree is trash against sand, which is everywhere. And so I don't know. I'm not really convinced it's gonna be a threat.
I think it's best, it was on some rental team that was like some hard trick room rental team that was going around just as a rage powder user.
Yeah.
So like when you put it on the field next to a setter, you have the option to like sleep something or rage powder, and that helps to get trick room up.
Right.
I feel like that's probably its best role.
Well, if you want to sleep something, you may as well just use sleep powder, which I think is what you were... I think that team that you were talking about did have sleep powder.
Yeah, I think that was before Gigantamax was even announced, so...
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I don't know.
Next on our list here, and we'll kind of package this pair here, is Ludicolo and Pelipper.
I will say this is an order of Pokedex number, so this was completely coincidental.
Oh, yeah, good point.
This isn't like a tiered order.
Butterfree,
saying...
so good. Right. So good, Butterfree.
Yeah, so don't read into this order at all. Literally just the order of the Pokedex numbers. But yeah, Ludicolo and Pelipper happen to be the two consecutive ones that I pulled from the list, which is kind of cool. Mm-hmm. I think Rain's going to be strong, and I was commenting earlier, like before we started recording, that I hadn't seen really Rain anywhere, and I was surprised by that. And I think the main instances of Rain that I've seen have been people running like Scarf U-turn off your Ludicolo that has a weakness policy and you turn into Pelipper, so you get +2, possibly even Dynamax in Rain on the first turn, which I think is fun. It's like a fun strat. I don't know, that might be one of those like kind of passing things that people have fun with and then don't really take seriously, but
I don't know whether or not that's like actually a real strategy, but I agree with you in the sense that I think that Rain should be better than it actually is.
Yeah.
I think that if Politoed were around, you'd see it'd be a lot better, because then you could actually take on sand with it instead
of having to switch
Pelipper into two rock slides.
I'm so disappointed. Like I've complained about this at every chance I'm getting, so I'm going to do it again. But we have every weather setter, like every like weather ability setter, except Politoed in the game.
Byproduct.
And I guess, I don't know, can you get Alolan Ninetales? I don't know if that's obtainable.
No, I don't think you can.
Okay, whatever, it doesn't matter. Terrible anyway. But I'm so mad because I love Politoed. Politoed's like top 5 favorite Pokemon overall, not even just competitively. And I love using it, and I love Rain with Politoed, and I'm so sad we don't get to use it.
I like kind of agree with you, but I'm also not sad that we don't have to deal with Ludicolo, Gothitelle, Politoed again, because I was kind of sick of playing against those sorts of teams after a while. But yeah, I definitely agree with you that Rain feels like it should be better than its usage reflects right now. As I think we've mentioned it maybe like one time over two or three episodes, two episodes I think worth of ladder. I think Barrascoota is probably the best rain mon, which is probably, you know, why I don't know. Rain should be better than it is, I think, is the right line. Next on our list here is Arcanine, which you know, like, everybody knows what it does at this point. The difference is that not only is it just like a bulky intimidate setter now, but justified beat up is like a real thing.
It has like really good coverage with max moves too.
Yeah, max notable, fist, like, max flare, max like
fighting,
lightning,
electric, fighting, normal,
max strike if it runs extreme speed. Yeah,
you could even run ground. I've seen that to like boost special defense.
I think it gets dragon cute. Pulse too, right?
It might get outrage.
Oh, outrage, even better.
Yeah, anyway, it has some good coverage if we're using like the justified beat up set. And then I do think it's still a good like intimidate, snarl, will-o-wisp kind of bot. It's really fast, which is helpful for a mon like that comparatively to the rest of the metagame. So I think it's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's a lot faster. Well, it's faster than Excadrill, which is like one thing that's mm-hmm. super notable, because it can actually check it, even though, you know, you would think that Excadrill is way better than it. Right. But its speed was never something that you really thought of it as in past formats, that it's been decent, just because like anything slower than 100 was considered to be slow for all intents and purposes. But now, like, if you're faster than Rotom and Excadrill, like, you're super fast.
Right.
So it has a neat niche in that regard. At number five on this list, and this is one that I made Jake put on the list after he made it, and not because this is something that I do like the Pokemon a lot, but I also think it's really good, which is Mudsdale. There are a lot of different things that it can do. It can run a lot of different items, like leftovers, assault vest, some sort of seed. It's a really good Dynamax user because it benefits from the defense boosts if it's running body press. You can run max fist. Max quake is good because it patches up its weak stat, and it's one of those things that just likes to have more HP as well, mm-hmm. while still like having a really high attack stat. And then stamina body press is neat. It does get inner focus, so it can block intimidate now. And it started to show up basically first, like, in prominence on that Trick Room team that we were talking about that Alex had. I think this is going to be like a really good Pokemon for most of the format. And I was telling Jake this earlier. I was playing a game on the ladder, and I maxed my Abomasnow against this Mudsdale and did like 45% to it with a max Overgrowth. So like, obviously it was running Assault Vest, but that's so crazy that I was running Leaf Storm max Overgrowth and it did like less than 50% to this freaking horse. So anyway, I think it's good both on hard Trick Room teams and just as like a I want to check sand mode. Both mm-hmm. both good options.
Speaking of Abomasnow though, that is the next Pokemon on the list.
Or my dad.
I was considering
Abomasnow my son or my dad.
I don't. That's a question for another time.
I'll have to think about
this. This is a family podcast, Brendan. Anyway, Abomasnow. I was really excited when we started learning about like moveset updates because Abomasnow got Bless. It got Leaf Storm. It got Earth Power, and it got Aurora Veil, all in this game, which I think are all really good moves for it.
Bless TRs. Thank you, TR. Yeah. Thank you, base TRs.
Yeah. So I think that's really cool for Abomasnow. It has super good coverage with
Ice
Grass Ground.
We love that for Abomasnow.
I don't know if it's still gonna like be like a top tier threat, but I think it's at least better than it used to be.
You dare?
Listen, I stand Weezing. We've talked about Weezing not being good. You can handle it if I mention Abomasnow.
I'm still coming around to it. That's like Abomasnow has been like kind of a signature Pokemon of sorts for mine since 2015.
See the logo of this podcast.
That's what I was gonna say. That I'm represented by a snowbird in our podcast. Logo. So I still think that it's pretty good. I always enjoyed facing against Tyranitar with it because I think like it has a lot of options against Tyranitar and the friends that it likes to have. So like Tyranitar water type is something that's pretty common, and Abomasnow can like beat that by itself. Excadrill is kind of a weird matchup. Obviously if you get into Trick Room, it beats all of those flying types bar Corviknight. It hates Sylveon, which is kind of bad, and it has obviously like a fast slow matchup against Dragapult as well. So it is to me what it has always been, which is where it's this thing that can like absolutely take over against a lot of teams in the meta if you put it in the right position. And I think it's still that, which is why I think it's good. And obviously the additions to the move pool. Well, I missed a Leaf Storm today, so I'm a little down on that right now. But I like. Earth Power Max Quake is like super good for Abomasnow. Really excited about it.
Are you done?
Yeah, I think it's good. I think it's good. If you want to talk to me about Abomasnow, slide into my DMs. The next thing on our list is Bronzong, which is something that is worth mentioning as of like 3 days ago.
Yeah.
And I think Jake was talking about Rhyperior, so I'm going to give you this one.
Well, I think Bronzong and Rhyperior is a really cool combo. I'll touch on this more when we get to Rhyperior, but Bronzong is still a pretty reliable Trick Room sitter. It's got some cool moves to use after Trick Room goes up. It gets screens. Driver Ball is not a bad move. It has some pretty other, like, neat other options. It doesn't, like, back in 2016 and to an extent in 2019 when it got used, it had, like, one set it used all the time. Well, I guess two, but, like, looking at the team Bronzong was on, you knew exactly what it was running.
You're right.
And now there are different options. I've seen Body Press on it. I've seen...
Yeah, Body Press is neat.
Yeah, it's like another sand check, which is neat with Body Press. Yeah, and I think it's got some cool stuff. I'll talk about Rhyperior more when we get to that. But right after Drifblim... we have Drifblim. Oh, God. Do you want to say something else?
Yeah, I was just going to say, like, this is the first time, at least in my competitive experience, that Bronzong has gotten to do anything other than check Xerneas.
Right.
So instead of being switched repeatedly into plus two Moonblast, it actually gets to, like, exist for a while.
True, yeah.
Yeah, the next thing on our list is Drifblim, which is, you know, the same thing that it's been since, auto terrain has become a thing, basically.
Yeah, but, the Tailwind, well, I guess the move order change thing buffed, a lot. I haven't really seen much of it yet, but I do think Drifblim is going to be solid. Like, fast Tailwind, fast Will-O-Wisp, you get, like, Shadow Ball for some chip damage. I've heard people talk about Strength Zap on it, which is going to be pretty cool. Mm. It's, again, one of those Pokemon that has a lot of different things it can run, like Taunt, Sunny Day, Rain Dance if you want to disrupt weathers. Haze is pretty good.
Yeah, it gets a ton of moves.
Yeah, so there are plenty of options.
You were telling me the other day about... Clear Smog with boost your own Indeedee.
Yeah, you could run like Mail Indeedee, which is a more offensive one, with like Psychic Seed, Drifblim, and then you could max ooze to boost the Indeedee special attack. So you have like plus one Indeedee in terrain, mm-hmm. which I haven't played a single game with it. I just thought it was a kind of fun idea.
Yeah, because you haven't built your own teams yet, Jake. You got to get on
that. That's not true. I have in DOU, but I have not gotten there in VGC
not valid.
Yet.
Not valid.
Whatever.
The next Pokemon on our list here is Dusclops, which is, again, we're kind of talking about a lot of these Pokemon as we get hit with the new wave of, like, hard TR teams that are starting to take over. The first wave was kind of like Indeedee Hatterene, and then people were like, okay, I guess we have to answer Indeedee Hatterene.
Right.
And they did that, but then at the same time, people were like, okay, fine, I don't have to use Indeedee Hatterene anymore, but hard Trick Room is still good. And
yeah.
Dusclops is one of the setters that kind of popped up as a result of that. It's super, super bulky. It's, like, super hard to take down. And then it's been doing the bulldoze thing with Rhyperior that Bronzong was doing as well, which is really interesting. And then again, yeah. Will-O-Wisp is all over the place. Anything that learns Will-O-Wisp is probably usable to some extent, so there you go. And then I've seen it with Pain Split. And that kind of move is like super nuts with Dynamax.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, when you have all that HP that's being like thrown around, you can
Does Pain Split work with Dynamax?
It just averages the HP.
Well, I'm saying, because, like, Endeavor doesn't work on Dynamax.
Oh, so I don't know if think it does. I'm pretty sure that's happened to me on ladder.
Okay.
On the Showdown ladder. So, you know, maybe it's not supposed to, but I'm pretty sure that that's happened to me.
Yeah, that's fine.
On the Showdown ladder. Yeah. So, yeah, bulky setter. It's, like, super hard to prevent, especially if you put redirection next to it.
The next few are kind of self-explanatory, so let's kind of run through
those. We've talked about them quite a bit.
Slightly faster. Next is Gyarados, which we know what Gyarados is. Intimidate's very good. It's another really good abuser of Dynamax, because with Moxie and Airstream you can essentially boost attack and speed at the same time. So that's pretty cool. Power Whip is actually a huge buff for it. You can smack Rotom and Gastrodon.
Huge buff
now.
For it. Yeah, now you don't get walled by Rotom Wash and stuff like that.
After Gyarados comes Milotic.
Yeah, it used to be like an exclusive Dragon Dance user, and now it gets like choice. Sets are really popular.
After Gyarados comes Milotic. Milotic being
I haven't seen that at all, I don't think.
I haven't yet. I have always been like I feel like I've always been a minority guest or Milotic supporter. but only so like in 2017 I hated Milotic because it didn't get Icy Wind. I think Icy Wind Milotic is like the only good set, but I think that set is really good. And in a tier like this where I think Icy Wind's gonna be pretty cool. So I think Milotic's gonna be all right, but that's, you know, I can't really back that up yet, so take that at face value. Exodrill is the next one. Like, I don't really know what else there is to say about it.
It's like probably just the best Pokemon in the format right now.
Yeah,
honestly.
I would probably say that too.
I don't think that's a stretch to call it the best Pokemon in the format. I think you could make an argument for like Rotom Wash, but I think Excadrill is the best Pokemon in the format right now.
We
have to have talked about it enough, right? Like, it has Mold Breaker, so you can actually beat Rotoms if you want to do the sand mode.
Yeah,
it can run like 100 different items.
I think Band is my favorite. Band is really fun.
Yeah, Band. It's just like your Rock Slides even do damage. It's just nuts.
Right.
High Horsepower was a neat buff.
Oh my god, High Horsepower. I need to gush about that for a second. High Horsepower was such a huge buff to ground types in general. Like, I can't get over that. High Horsepower, Rhyperior, and Excadrill are both huge. Because it's like almost as strong as single target Earthquake. It's 95% accurate. So you can have this incredibly strong ground type attack that like only Mudsdale ever used in the past. I guess Snorlax did. But now we have more ground types that can abuse it, and I think Excadrill is a super good user of it. So
I just have a gripes with the move as far as the flavor goes. I feel like they should have come up with a more generic ground type move as opposed to making everything into a horse. But
I know
we're just nitpicking at this point. Yeah. But yeah, anyway, Excadrill is really good. I think I was telling Jake about I ran into like a bunch of weakness policy sets, which is actually like kind of viable on Excadrill, because even though it has no defenses, it has really high HP stats. So when you Dynamax it, it's like very easy to proc the weakness policy. Kind of neat. The next Pokemon on our list is Conkeldurr, which I think is super good and is being slept on maybe a little bit.
Yeah, I agree.
It does a million damage, and in a format where there are really only like two or three fairies right now, there's not a lot that is like shutting it down. Like, you have to contend with flying types, but it'll take physical flying moves pretty well because of how big its bulk is.
Yeah.
Will-O-Wisp is like freaking everywhere, so you can just like make it guts and like not even have to run Flame Orb, really. You can just like, you can like reliably get it burned and run another boosting item, and it just does so much damage. It got close combat.
Yeah, I was about to say, close combat.
Just like most fighting types did. Like, boosted Mach Punch is always going to be nuts, and like it has all the coverage that it needs.
Moving down to Ferrothorn, which we like to talk poorly about on this podcast. I don't think Ferrothorn does anything different now than it has ever. It's always one of those, like,
not a good Dynamax user.
it's one of those, like, pretend to be a checkmate Pokemon, even though it only works as it should, like, 10% of the time.
Yeah. And like, I think it arguably got worse because everything has Mystical Fire now.
Right, yeah. All the fairies that it used to check now can hit it for, you know, 4x damage, which is very bad for it.
Yeah.
I guess, like, it's kind of good against sand. It's physically bulky, which is important for, like, Drill and T-Tar. And I guess specifically T-Tar, it smacks with both of its stabs. So I guess that's, you know, good for you, Ferrothorn. But otherwise, eh.
you'll never find it in my team building. Yeah. I'll just put it that way.
Mystical Fire is, fairies though, we gotta
is Sylveon 15. Which gets to use just like max flare now because reasons. All these evolutions have like since their inception have been held back. Like they have their one or two good stats, but they have no move pool.
Yeah,
and they're like, we're gonna give Sylveon Mystical Fire. it needs this. So Sylveon is really good. I think it's one of the best Pokemon in the format. Like, I would place it into S tier if we were actually like making a tier list here. I think it's really good.
Yeah.
What I haven't seen it do a lot of is I feel like people are using a lot of like fast modes, like airstreaming for Sylveon or like max striking for Sylveon, instead of like just setting Trick Room and letting it do things with its like naturally slower speed stat. So I haven't seen a ton of that, and I feel like that's gonna be like a good niche for it on some sort of like a semi room team.
I agree. Yeah, coming in at 16 we have Scrafty, which is one of my favorites. We keep mentioning fighting types. We both think fighting types are better now than they have been in a while. Partly due to the Tapus being gone, and the fairies being less important now. But I think in general,
there's just not like a lot of fairies at all, even like Tapu specifically. But
and fighting types do well against some of the good stuff like sand, which is important. Like obviously, Fake Out Intimidate on the same mon is really good. Scrafty having that dark typing is good against a lot of Trick Room stuff, like Bronzong, Indeedee. I guess not really Hatterene because of the fairy, but like Dusclops, it can smack. So it's a lot.
And
of cool
it got close combat
there.
Too.
Yeah.
You know what I haven't seen a lot of is that people were speculating is people using like close combat plus eject pack on Scrafty.
Oh yeah.
And I guess that was kind of back before we realized that Intimidate was getting nerfed really hard.
Right.
But I haven't seen that at all. Like eject pack, Draco Meteor, Dragapult is stuff that people had kind of like speculated to. I don't know. That just made me think of it when I was talking about when we were thinking about Scrafty.
Yeah.
Anyway, coming in next on the list is Gastrodon, which is like the same as it's always been, except now it gets to like set up rain for itself or use max quake, which makes it even harder to take down than it already was.
I actually do think Gastrodon is kind of good right now.
No, I think it's definitely good, but it's still the same. Like, it doesn't do anything different.
Right. Yeah. Dynamax gives it actual offense though, which is really important because that's something it used to lack.
Yeah, so you used to slap an expert belt on there just to make it like get four times KOs with Ice Beam. So yeah, it's good, like especially next to sand where you're trying to like check bulky waters. And I think Jake and I had our like Rotom verse Gastrodon discussion a little bit earlier. But you can like slap it next to stuff it's on those colossal teams. Anything that you need to like drag Max Geyser away from, it still does that better than anything else.
And it's like an actual check to Dracovish.
Which, that's true.
Which is important.
It's not as good a check as Arctovish, but it does check Dracovish. Stop.
Whatever.
The next thing on our list is Togekiss, which I think people are weirdly still sleeping on. Like, it's not seeing the usage you would expect it to.
Losing Tailwind really sucks.
It lost Roost, too. Yeah. They just clipped its wings. I don't know. Like, that's just so unnecessary.
Like, it's still good because, like, Follow Me is a really good move.
You can still Airstream.
Yeah, it can Airstream if you need it to. Like, Air Slash if you're faster than something is crazy. So it's still usable, but it's really sad that it lost Tailwind. It did gain Helping Hand, though. I think it got that.
Yeah.
It used to be just an XD tutor thing, so that's good at least.
Yeah, and it can still, like, if you wanted to make it do this, it still has, like, fighting and fire coverage if you wanted to
Send it down that road. It has Thunder Wave.
Yep, Thunder Wave, yep. So it still does all the same things other than Tailwind and Lost Roost, too, which is kind of weird. I was making a set for it the other day, like, when I put it on a team, and I just didn't, like, know what moves to use. That's why I put Life Dew on there, because I was like, I don't really need Protect. Oh, let me just throw Roost on here. Oh, it's...
No!
Roost is gone. Anyway, next on our list, a good partner for Togekiss is Snorlax, which we talked quite a bit about when we discussed its Gigantamax form, but it is largely the same other than the fact that 50% berries got nerfed and green is now better than it. But other than that, it got Heat Crash, which is like a pretty neat buff to it because it was kind of forced to rely on Fire Punch previously, but it still has like high horsepower. It's still going to do a million damage.
It got Darkest Lariat, too, which I don't know if it'll ever get used. But...
Oh, I want to see that animation.
I know.
I'm going to have to look that up.
Yeah. I think Heat Crash gives it a really unique max move option. Like, after you Belly Drum, if you're running Horsepower Heat Crash, like Double Edge, you have three really strong max moves that are covering each other very well. Like, Normal needing to hit Steel and Rock means that Ground and Fire is great partners for it. So
right.
I'm a fan. The G-Max is going to make it pretty good. Again, we talked about the G-Max mechanic earlier, so...
And then we talked about Turbo Lax with Max Strike, too.
Right, yeah.
I've gotten messed up by that a couple times, where people just, like... where they'll, like, Belly Drum on turn one, and then, like, switch in something in Tailwind or something, and then all of a sudden Snorlax is, like, plus six...
Whoops.
facading you, or Max Striking you, or whatever, and then you can't switch into it because he's Max Strike. Yeah, it's... Like, I never expect that, but it has a lot more options in that regard than it did previously. Yeah.
One of the huge winners of this new gen is Whimsicott. Like, and Prankster Tailwind is now ridiculously good. I do, too. Whimsicott's always been super annoying to play against.
I've never liked it.
No, but I do. Like, Whimsicott's really good right now. It's like, undeniably good.
Yeah, especially with all the beat-up stuff that's around.
Like, right.
Beat up Arcanine, beat up Lucario, which is on that Wolf Rental team that I'm, like, if I see it again, I'm going to throw my Switch out the window. I found out the hard way, like, before I looked at the paste, I found out that the hard way that the Lucario had Shaka Berry when I tried to Max
Quake. Oh, me too. Yeah.
I was like, oh, good, the game's over. And then it just, like, took a Max Quake. I was like, okay, thanks, Wolf, you ruined my night.
Yeah. I think I was using, like, Bronzong Rhyperior against it or something like that, and I went to, like, plus two Max Quake it, but it had Max Steel Striked, or Steel Spiked. So it was a plus one defense, and with the Shaka Berry, it lived the Max Quake at plus two, and I was like,
it's unbelievable.
This is... upsetting.
Look what you did, Wolf. But yeah, Whimsicott's really good, and I think the other thing is that you're not, because of the way that they interact with Dynamax, you're not really trying to fit like Taunt or Encore onto it, which opens it up to running attacks.
Yeah,
which is really neat because obviously like Moonblast is always will be a good move.
Moonblast is broken. Like, no, we don't talk about that enough.
It gets space for beat up now without having to like drop something important.
Yeah, I've seen run Energy Ball too, which is
That's what I was gonna say. Yeah, that like there's actually space to run multiple attacks, and Grass Fairy is not bad. Like that's pretty really good typing, especially based on the meta right now. Like you can hit like three or four Pokemon on any given Good Steps team for super effective damage.
Yeah, but this brings us to the fabled Rhyperior. Rhyperior. All right, solo cast now. Rhyperior, I think, is super good. It's like, I don't know. We keep mentioning like Bulldoze Trick Room stuff with it, and I am a huge fan of how strong it can be under Trick Room. Like, if you're at plus two and you're using Earthquake next to Bronzong or something, it's super strong. It has super good coverage. Ground Rock is one of the best like pairings of two types you can have when attacking Pokemon. And like I mentioned, High Horsepower is a huge buff for it. And you can also do something like Rock Wrecker, which you could turn into Max Rock Fall for a huge Max Rock move. I wasn't really sold on Rock Wrecker at first, but I was talking to Blake and he said if you're maxing it most of the time, then you really want Rock Wrecker because it's just so strong and going to take pretty much any KO that you might throw at it. So
I always forget that Rock Wrecker exists. It's kind of a cool animation.
Yeah.
Is it still a unique move for Rhyperior? Do other things get that now?
No, I don't think it ever was. I think Crustle was the first thing to get it.
Oh, really? I thought it was a Rhyperior signature move.
Wait, did it get it in Gen 4?
I thought so. I thought it was introduced with the Pokemon.
Oh, you could be right. I just remember Crustle getting it in Gen 5 because it was in the anime. It was silent. Oh.
Okay, neat. Yeah. Good for you, Crustle. The next Pokemon on our list is Gothitelle, which isn't seeing the usage that a lot of people speculated that it would get.
Yeah.
And I think it's because it's like the most stoppable Trick Room setter, I guess, would be the best way of saying it.
Yeah, its bulk kind of betrays it. That's always been its problem, is it's been like bulky but not bulky enough. And especially now with max moves, it doesn't really stand up to those very well. And if you need it, if you want it to like set Trick Room and then stick around to abuse Shadow Tag, it's not really going to be able to do that very well.
Right.
I do think it's underexplored in the sense that people are just trying to shove it onto Trick Room teams and call it a day. Like, I think Fake Out and Trick Room on the same Gothitelle is terrible because you want your Trick Room setter to be supported by Fake Out, not using it.
Right.
And so I think like something like Fake Out Heal Pulse with other support moves and like not on a Trick Room set is going to be really cool because it doesn't really rely on like setting Trick Room and then doing things. I can use that first turn to be productive with something else. So like Fake Out on Goth, I think, is strong. Just don't use it in Trick Room on the same set, please. I beg you.
Yeah, it's never really lent itself very well to Trick Room offense, which is,
right,
I think, why, like, if you want to do Trick Room offense with a Psychic type, you've got a bunch to choose from that are better than Gothitelle.
Yeah.
And Shadow Tag even doesn't always lend itself so well to offense. Like, it doesn't hurt it, but, like, if you could be using that slot to, you know, get KOs more than, you know, just keep Pokemon on the field, I think you'd be thinking about doing that, especially given the way that some of the hard TR teams are looking early in the format at this point. The next Pokemon on our list here is like top five in usage right now, Braviary.
Yeah.
Which Jake has mentioned a couple times that like the combination of flying and fighting max moves is just like super good.
Yeah.
And Braviary already having Defiant and being a flying type just makes it like a ready made Excadrill partner.
Yeah, like it's a really good combo to support teammates, but it's also a super good combo to support yourself. And like the supporting yourself is what Hawlucha makes good use of, and Braviary is another great example. It's got a pretty good speed tier for Airstream. After one Airstream, you're faster than most, if not the entire metagame, depending on your investment, obviously. But if you're going to be clicking Airstream and Superpower a couple times when you're Dynamax, then you're probably in a pretty good spot. Actually, you got close combat too, so
yeah,
you don't need Superpower
yeah,
anymore.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah, good Pokemon. Definitely benefited from the generation shift tier.
Yeah.
Its pal at 24 is Mandibuzz, which is its like counterpart, right?
Yeah.
But not quite as good as Braviary, but still pretty good. I think Dark is a pretty good type here that benefits a lot from fairies being gone.
Mm-hmm.
Foul Play allows it to take on Excadrill pretty well. It still, I believe, sets Tailwind. I don't think it lost.
Yeah,
Tailwind.
It kept Tailwind.
Yeah. And then it still does a lot of the same things that it didn't. Like, you can use Psychic Seed. It still is roosting. It can like stall you out. It just like has Snarl. It does all these supporty things, that make it unique as like a dark flying type.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. Moving down to Torkoal, a fixture on these hard Trick Room teams. It's super slow, super powerful with those Sun Boosted Eruptions. It kind of benefits from Sand being good because it can just delete Excadrill if it's faster than it. Doesn't like facing T-Tar, obviously, but at least can prey on Excadrill and Trick Room. But like being super slow and having Drought Eruption is huge. And like,
yeah,
that's
so
the reason
like
it's never been
the...
used. So that doesn't change anything now.
It's almost always the slowest thing in the format, or like close to the slowest thing in the format. So if you have one on your team and you're like facing another Trick Room team, you win when Trick Room goes up. So and with less things, able to kind of like weather its storm, so to speak, and it's like a phenomenal Hatterene partner with like very psychic fire coverage is like dumb good. Very good Pokemon. Very good Pokemon.
Yeah. Good Torkoal partner.
Also,
Mimikyu.
Did we put Vileplume on this list?
No.
Well, Vileplume is a Torkoal partner. Don't use that, please. It's like a, we can let Lilycole rest where it lies.
Please.
Anyway. Mimikyu, you just mentioned. Yeah. Disguise got a nerf, but it's still the same Pokemon. Like, let's be honest.
It's still a pretty reliable setter. You can guarantee that you're going to survive one hit unless you're facing like Moldbreaker or something. Mm-hmm. So that's
Which
pretty
is
cool.
Actually, kind of common. Like,
I guess Moldbreaker Excadrill.
Moldbreaker Iron Head is like not Mimikyu's friend.
No,
not as bad as Solgaleo though.
Still says Trick Room has Wisp, has other cool options like Taunt. It actually lasts after you, which I don't know if ever got used in VGC, but it's kind of a cool like meme option.
I feel like I've seen the Life Orb like offensive sets a lot more frequently than I have in past formats as well.
I could see that. Yeah.
It's not like exclusively a true. Well, again, because 96 is all of a sudden like blazing fast in this format, so you can actually like make it jolly and slap a Life Orb on there and do a lot of damage as like a Dynamax user.
Yeah, I agree.
Pretty interesting in that regard. Personal favorite of mine at 27 is Jellicent, which first of all is an excellent Abomasnow partner. Is being slept on big time.
Agreed. I love Jellicent.
That just feels like something. It's something that you can put like it handles a lot of the hard Trick Room teams that are around right now very well.
Mm-hmm.
Like it doesn't really care about Torkoal. Like it'll take a Solar Beam and not really care. Its special bulk is so big that it like is fine with taking on Hatterene for a turn or two and stuff like that. It threatens super effective damage onto stuff like Mudsdale. You can burn any of the like the physical attackers that are in Trick Room. It just like it does very well against Trick Room, and I feel like that's going to be something that probably picks up if hard Trick Room continues to like dominate the format.
Yeah, and like Strength Sap is really good too. It got that.
Yeah, that what a huge buff.
Yeah,
I love Strength Sap.
Yeah, yeah. So I think that's something Jellicent's going to use very well. It's got kind of high HP, so like not the most optimal, but you know, reducing attack is good, and like the attack stats are still going to heal it for probably over half on the first time.
Oh
so.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I've done it a couple times. Like when you get to go after like Excadrill and things that are like Dynamaxing to go just from like red HP close to full, it's like pretty awesome.
We talked about Hawlucha a lot. I think Hawlucha is another big winner of the generation shift, not necessarily for VGC or doubles, but in general, just a very, very strong abuser of Dynamax in general. So we don't need to spend too much more time on it. But juxtaposed with Aegislash, which is one of the biggest losers of the generation.
Well, I think it's a big loser of the generation, just in the sense that not a lot of things lost out, other than the fact that they got cut from the decks.
That's true. Yeah.
But like as far as
Aegislash was
things,
the only
it,
like direct nerf.
It took a real nerf.
Yeah. So it lost.
I think it's still good.
It's still good. Yeah. Like it's one of the few things that can stall out Trick Room pretty well. Like the subset especially has always been good against Trick Room, just because Trick Room has a hard time breaking through like sub King Shield. But King Shield did get nerfed in that it only drops attack by one when it makes contact, and Aegislash lost 10 in all of its stats across the board. So like in shield form it lost 10 defense and special defense, and then attack form it lost attack and special attack, which is really unfortunate for it. Doesn't break it or anything, not break in the bad way. Still usable, but kind of disappointing because I really liked using Aegislash.
It did get close combat.
That's true, but I don't think that's something you ever want to use.
I mean, like over Sacred Sword, I think fighting coverage is still really good.
Actually, yeah, I guess you can hit T-Tar with it now.
Yep.
So maybe.
And what's that other thing called? Excadrill.
What? What's that?
What's what?
Excadrill?
You probably haven't heard of it.
I don't know.
The next Pokemon on our list is Rotom. Man, what is there to say about Rotom?
It's so good.
It's really good.
And I also, I personally think Rotom-O is very good right now. I'm not going to say it's better than Wash. I'll say it's probably about as good as Heat, in my opinion. Mm. But I think it's like one of the few good grass types, which is big. It does lose out on being an electric type that is weak to, or sorry, that resists flying. But on the other hand, it's a grass type that's neutral to flying. So it's kind of a trade-off. It's really good against Rotom Wash, obviously. So it's a pretty hard stop to that, and also Gastrodon. But I'm a big fan of it. Rotom in general, like Wash, Heat, Mo. Will-O-Wisp is very good. Electric moves are very good. There aren't very many.
I like the spec sets a lot.
They're what?
The spec sets.
Yeah, those are great. They're like there's like three electric types in this format. It's like Rotom being good.
And they're all Rotom.
Yeah. So I think that like Rotom benefits a lot from that, in that it has a niche as like an offensive electric type now too.
Yeah, and Rotom Moe benefits from the fact that there's like one grass type in the format. Yeah, too, and I'm not even talking about Abomasnow. Like it's Rotom Moe and that's it.
Right.
And the one thing that I've kind of been wondering is whether or not like the fan is actually good too. I feel like it's probably like not bad. Like I haven't seen it at all, but I feel like it's probably not bad, and it's definitely usable. Like Airstream is really good. Like Airstream and Lightning is a pretty good combination.
That's true. Yeah. Also, so Rotom, like could... Rotom's another mon that got Nasty Plot. Yes. So I think that might be usable on some teams too, which is kind of cool. Especially especially on fan, so you can Nasty Plot Airstream.
Oh yeah.
You might be onto something here.
I'm gonna. You guys didn't hear it. Cut this from the show.
Yeah, I'll edit it out. Don't worry.
Okay, good. Next on our list here is Charizard, which is another one that I forced Jake to put in just because I've seen it steal souls on the ladder. It just does so much damage right now that we find ourselves like outside of like when we don't have legendaries and there's no Heatran, like Sword Power Charizard just does so much damage. Like it will just like KO things. Like if you give it a life orb, it'll take two knockouts with a heat wave and sun. I don't know. Like I think it just does, it's really good. I haven't seen it a ton, and obviously it struggles because sand is around. But like it'll just like if you like one of the most the strongest offensive Pokemon in the format, in my opinion.
I'm not sold yet, but I'll take your word for it.
I'm gonna start hunting down replays. I don't have a Charizard team, but I'm gonna have to show you.
So, I mean, something else you were talking about, too, is Silvally, which is next on the list.
Yeah, I think I forced this one onto the list just because I had a bad experience earlier in the day. A normal Silvally exploded, and then it knocked out my Abomasnow with, like, a spread explosion. And I did the you know, the gif with the guy where he's blinking, and then he opens
his eyes. Oh,
yeah, like, dude, that was me. I was like, and after thinking about it, I was like, okay. We're back again in the same kind of boat as Charizard, where there aren't legendaries around that are just constantly stat checking Silvally. Now Intimidate is kind of like suppressed because of all the nerfs that it got. So Silvally has a 95 attack stat that's really like not all that bad, and it can be any type. And now multi attack is a base 120 power attack. Like,
that's
it's
crazy.
Kind of good. It's always had the coverage. It's one of the few things that can use Parting Shot.
Yep.
It has Snarl, it has Explosion, like it gets all the coverage you could possibly, like it's a good Pokemon, and it can fill, like I'm kind of surprised, and like I've roasted Tommy about this for years, so don't tell him, but like there are no grass types in the format, why aren't we using grass Silvally?
I don't like, hate it.
There are no electric types in the format, why don't we try electric Silvally? I don't know. I think it's an interesting Pokemon that's definitely underexplored, because it seems like the types, like using the memories, was just written off so long ago.
Yeah.
That people haven't even like gone back to double check on that.
Yeah. Another niche Pokemon we forced onto this list was Tyranitar.
It's like fringe.
Yeah, like top tier, if only because it supports Excadrill so well, but it has amazing coverage. It's a very good user of Dynamax too, in my opinion, because it has incredibly wide coverage for a Rock Dark part, or like a Rock Dark
just
type.
Like I like sometimes I will just like throw a Steel type at it and get Max Flared or something.
Yeah,
like that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Even like you can use Knuckle and Quake, Flare, Hailstorm.
Sure.
Thunder.
And probably get Solar Beam if you wanted to like use that. Like, it just gets
It gets like the good moves to support itself too, though, because you can boost Special Offense with Quake. You can boost Attack. You can reset Sand if something comes in to like disrupted or Sand runs out.
Darkness is good for partners.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm a huge fan, especially something like Assault Vest where you're running four attacks. Assault Vest Dynamax Tyranitar just doesn't die.
Yeah, I'm still waiting for it to find its way onto Trick Room teams as well, though.
I can see
like
that.
That's something that hasn't been seen too much. Like Cresselia has always been a really good partner for it.
True.
Because you have the option to like just put it in Trick Room.
Yeah.
Jellicent Tyranitar, there's your next team, people. Go build that.
I like it. Let's go.
And then the last Pokemon on our list here is Hydreigon, which I'm not as sold on as Jake is. I think it's pretty good, and it got buffs in the gen. Like, Jake was telling me it got Nasty Plot because reasons. Like, I feel like I've said that too much. Like, because reasons. Thanks, Gabe.
Nasty Plot's cool. I think it has the coverage to make use of Nasty Plot. Max Darkness with Hydreigon is really good because you can, like, drop Special Defense and do more damage the second time around. Max Wormwind is going to be strong with Draco Meteor, and, like, dropping Attack is fun. So, like, I think it's cool. It's not going to be, like, a top-tier threat. there aren't many fairies around, but it loses hard to the fairies that do exist.
The fightings that come when
that's
the
true,
are
yeah,
around,
yeah. So it's not. I'm not saying it's gonna like break the metagame or anything, but it's more usable now than it has been in the last couple of years. So I would look
and
out for
it. It's always enjoyed nice matchups against Rotoms.
True. Yeah.
That's like one of the things that it always used to do. So I feel like you could use it in that regard. It does fine versus Excadrill too, as long as you don't get Ironhead flinched. So It's got like niches and pretty like decent matchups against certain things. But is it like super good? No.
Yeah, agreed.
Probably not. All right. So we touched on all those things. Obviously, we didn't talk about every Pokemon. Much to Joe's dismay, I know I mentioned this. Don't use Noctowl. We're not going to be talking about Noctowl. This is the only mention from here on out that Noctowl will get on this podcast. So if you're a Noctowl enthusiast, direct yourself elsewhere.
Right.
But yeah, there are obviously Pokemon that could find themselves on teams and like niche scenarios. Like we mentioned, I can't even think of it, Vileplume.
Mm-hmm.
You know, stuff like Vanillix has, you know, the option to do stuff like that. Mamoswine is kind of, so all these Pokemon that kind of like do things but maybe aren't as good as the 34 that we put on this list.
Yeah, if you think we missed one, let us know. Talk to us on
Twitter.
Please
tweet at us. If you have like a great paste with any of those Pokemon, you want to send me a rental team try to have
where we're always like, accepting.
All right, so that's gonna wrap up at least temporarily our like foray into more detailed Galar coverage, as We've kind of touched on both the new Pokemon and the returners, and I believe we've started to publicize this a little bit, but our next episode, as we come to the very, very end of 2020, is going to be a an obituary for Ultra Series for all intents and purposes. Yeah. We say goodbye to the 3DS. We say goodbye to Ultra Sun and Ultra Moon. We say goodbye, hopefully, to restricted formats forever. So a lot of goodbyes to be said. And we've still got some things in the works, but our hope is that we're going to have a whole bunch of top players on our show to talk about kind of like their signature archetype for the format.
I'm
so look
very
forward
excited
to that. Yeah. I think it's going to be really cool. You know, not necessarily as relevant to what people's interests are, but I think it's going to be a lot of, you know, cool stuff to say. And, you know, we're all going to approach it with the mindset that, you know, Ultra Series is over, and we can approach it with like a little bit lighter take on things.
Right. Yeah. No, super excited. Stay tuned for that. We've had this in our heads since like very soon after we planned to actually start this podcast back in like this summer. So this will be really fun. Hopefully we get it all worked out, but I'm pretty confident that we'll put together something cool for the end of Ultra Series.
Definitely.
Before we sign off, it would not be an episode of Soundproof without music. I will never let that happen, as hard as Brendan tries to forget every week.
I was actually on top of it this week. I was ready to go.
Mine this week is a more broad recommendation. I've been on a big 80s kick. I started watching a YouTube channel called Todd in the Shadows, and he does reviews of pop songs, but sometimes he goes back and does like one-hit wonders from the past. And he did a video on the song I Ran by A Flock of Seagulls. And that got me, yeah, that one. And it got me in a huge 80s kick. So I host trivia every week, if you didn't know. And I have songs playing in between questions to give people time to answer the questions. And I made an 80s playlist for 1 week. I think it was a couple weeks ago. But like a lot of the 80s, like big one hit wonders, not necessarily one hit wonders, but the big 80s songs you might remember, like I Ran, like Come On Eileen, You Make My Dreams, Everybody Wants to Rule the World, Material Girl, like stuff like that. It's really like fun music. It's really all like upbeat. And so if I'm in the car driving and I need to like stay energized, or I just want to have some fun music playing, I'll throw that playlist on. I'll link it in the description if you want to check it out. It's just on my Spotify. So it's fun. It's just an 80s playlist that I've been having a lot of fun listening to.
Yeah, that's neat. I always like, it's always fun to go back and listen to stuff like that after a while.
Like, right.
You get burned out on, you know, like modern pop and stuff like that. Go back to the classics, to the roots.
Yeah.
Where did modern pop come from?
Cyndi Lauper. She invented music.
Cyndi
when
Lauper.
She released Girls Want to Have Fun.
Right. And then after that was Toxic by Britney Spears, and everything else is history. Those are the two most important songs in music history.
This is not hyperbole.
All modern female pop can be traced back to Toxic by Britney Spears.
Probably. Yeah.
Just gonna say that. Anyway, what I was listening to this past week, and I think I mentioned it on the last podcast, is that I was listening to, like, I fell down this kind of like rabbit hole of like soft kind of like I think the genre is called dream pop, but it has these like sort of like, it's like very soft. It's not like acoustic guitar, because that's like a very different vibe to me at least, but it's like electronic, like soft electronic sounds.
Mm-hmm.
And the band I was listening, or the group I was listening to, it's like a duo or something, is called X's. And I was listening a lot to their EP called Once More with Feeling. So I'm taking this in a very different direction than Jake, but I'm like still on my way down this rabbit hole, and it's very nice after I've had a long day of walking old people and writing a lot of paperwork to get into my car and put on this like soft pop that's like, it's okay, Brendan, everything's gonna be okay.
Would you call it chill lo-fi beats to study to?
What is that? Is that one of the podcast the playlists on Spotify?
I don't know, I think it's just a meme.
Oh, okay.
Oh, maybe that's where that was really funny in my head. I appreciate it if you'd all laugh at home.
You lost me on that one.
It's fine, whatever. Stick around. We have our little outro after some cool music. We always mention the music. Like,
I think it's
we break the fourth wall way too often.
That's what I was gonna say. It's just like we're just gonna continue to hammer on the fourth wall. Yeah. But yeah, don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. That will just about conclude it here for episode 12 of Soundproof. Thanks again for coming along as we spelunked through Galar over the past couple weeks, two episodes worth of content, as we've touched on just about everything that we feel like is going to be, you know, relevant in the early part of the meta here. And I feel like we were like pretty exhaustive. I think it was pretty good.
Yeah, we covered a lot. We covered most of the new mons. We covered a good chunk of the returning mons. Obviously, we did leave some out just for the sake of time. If we covered everything, it would have been, you know, a 4-hour podcast. So I had to make some choices, but I'm really happy with what we did. I'm really, really excited to get into this new VGC metagame, as well as a new DOU metagame. I'm going to take this chance to plug my format again. We've talked about it plenty on this channel.
I run DOU
on Smuggler. Thank you. Yeah, I totally planned it. But come join us. We have fun. The first DOU tournament is going on right now, and the new with the new rule set. So there will be some fun games to watch, and formats are very similar. Probably the most similar VGC and DOU have ever been, in my opinion.
Yeah. So now it's like definitely. What is it? Just like the Gigantamaxes are legal. Is that the only thing?
Yeah, every Gigantamax is legal, and Mew is like the only mon difference.
Neat. But
yeah, it's cool. It's okay, fun.
So yeah, fun format and a lot of parallels. Good time to jump over.
Yeah.
Good time to try new things as we go through the format overall. And just one point that I wanted to make is. There's like a lot of content creation going on.
Yeah.
So it's really fun to feel like, you know, that we're a part of this big wave and this big push to get people into Pokemon and into VGC specifically. Obviously, like, Wolf has been leading the charge in that, and has
been
pulling
huge
thousands
success
of viewers
too, yeah.
And his channel has just exploded. He's like basically a celebrity at this point. So it's really cool to be putting out content at a time where, you know, like, VGC is in demand. So you know, not to shamelessly beg, but if you know anybody that's trying to get into VGC, please pass them our podcast. You know, we do a pretty good job, I think, of breaking down things to a relatively simple level, so that folks that, you know, even if you aren't ingrained in the VGC community, provided you aren't looking for information on Ultra Series, like, this is a good place for you to be. There's my plug. I'm plugging my podcast on my podcast. So to you, our loyal listeners, please.
As always, follow us on Twitter. Tell us how you liked the episode. Tell us anything you might want to hear in the future. At Soundproofcast for the podcast, at Mr. BDog46VGC, and at Major Bowman _ for our personal one.
Mr. Bowman.
That's our couple name, by the way, Mr. Bowman.
Oh, Mr. Bowman. Okay.
Yeah. But yeah, follow us on there. Tell us what you think. We're happy to hear from y'all. Make sure to tune in next week for our Farewell to Ultra series. But until then, see ya.
Bye-bye.